Hello and welcome to another episode of Casting Views, the general topic podcast that takes a topic each week and, as the name suggests, casts views. This week I've got some very special guests with me, and I have to say that because they're my co-hosts from another podcast I'm in. So it's Dave and Dan S. from Just Football. Hello.
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 So yeah, so at time of recording, we are what, 3 episodes in, aren't we, on the Just Football?
Yeah.
For anyone who hasn't listened to it yet, and why wouldn't you have, because it's amazing, it's a football podcast where we try to not be too, we're not going to be too heavy. We're just kind of reviewing the week, the major events in the sport, and have a bit of fun with it at the same time, aren't we?
Yeah, and it's probably worth noting that we're Tottenham and Arsenal fans, we haven't fallen out yet, so it is a friendly sort of deal.
I feel like I'm the, if we take it as an Oreo, I'm the cream between the two biscuit bits.
Well, I think, Dan, I think we probably haven't fallen, not you and I, but we probably haven't fallen out with the Arsenal fan yet because we've had such a bad season. I think if we were competing more, there might be something.
Yeah.
Watch your space in the upcoming seasons. Right. I've asked you to come on to this show so we could have a bit of fun with the sport. So what I wanted to do was kind of get your views on what would we do to change the game, to have a bit of fun with it, or potentially make it better. But in my case, it's mainly to have a bit of fun and make it a little bit bizarre, or potentially more appealing to markets or people that aren't traditionally interested in football. But before we do, let's hear from some friends of the show.
Welcome to Shatsunami, a variety podcast that talks about topics from gaming and films to streaming and general interests.
Previously on Shatsunami, we discussed Game of the Decade, Deadly Premonition, the romantic thriller, Birdemic, and listen to us get all sappy as we discuss our top 5 Christmas films.
If that sounds like your cup of tea, then you can find us on Anchor, Spotify, YouTube, and all good podcast apps. As always, stay safe,
stay awesome, and most importantly,
stay hydrated.
And we're back. So, I don't know, I'm going to throw it over to you two first, actually, but I'm just going to suggest that possibly some of the ones I've got, I know will break the sport, but I don't care about that because this is all about fun and grabbing headlines if they were ever implemented. So I don't know about yours if they would break the game, but who wants to go first?
I will go first because I've heard Dan S has got a load of ideas and I've only got a couple. So I want to get mine in just in case. So my idea, I think, is a great idea because I've come up with it.
Just a bit of modesty.
It's already a winner.
It's already a winner. Is to get rid of the penalty spots during 90 minutes. Well, during 90 minutes and extra time of football matches. And how it works is, basically, if there's a foul in the penalty box, in the 18-yard box, wherever that foul occurs, then the attacking team gets to have a go one-on-one with the keeper. So it could be the extreme left of the 18-yard box, but the player can still try and score a goal.
What, from the spot the foul takes place?
Yeah, so just like any other place on a football pitch, where you get fouled, that's where you get a free kick. Why shouldn't it be different in a penalty box?
And why do you? And what would happen if, you know, it was a goalkeeper right next to the goal line, punched a player, and that's a free kick, sort of a yard out? Would the same rule apply?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but the keeper would get sent off for punching the player.
that rule still remains in. Okay.
But I guess the approach is, crime doesn't necessarily punishment doesn't fit a crime.
Yeah, I understand. That makes sense. What was funny when you started that description and you said we should remove the penalty spot for the 90 minutes and extra time, I just had visions of this guy coming on for a penalty shootout and painting a spot on the field ready to go.
Well, that'd be at maybe penalties at the end of the match, but it might be that we don't do penalties either.
Yeah.
Dan, I was going to say, following what you were saying, I can imagine then the ref has got, he's got that water spray. He's got another spray can of white paper where he could do the spot if it needs to be a penalty.
For more permanent for more permanent, just two cans. Yeah. Well, when football started getting big in America, didn't they? They did a different sort of penalty, didn't they? They did it in a similar way to what hockey does it, where they dribble from the halfway line, or maybe it was a bit before the halfway line, but they would dribble from a amount of space out and then take on the goalkeeper one-on-one. I watched a couple and it actually looks quite good, like better than I thought it would be. It seems to work better, but they've obviously reverted to the normal penalty shootout now.
Can you imagine, though, the amount of players, if you've been on for 120 minutes, they'll probably get cramped by the time they get to the goal. It might make it more entertaining.
There's a long distance, so anything could happen. So would you, if you were IFAB, so they're the ones who make all the laws of the game, would you introduce my idea? Do you think it's that good?
I get it. I think it's actually a good way of thinking, because you are right, there's some fouls that happen on the edge of a box and get given a penalty, and you know if that was allowed to run or that foul didn't happen, he wasn't going towards a goal. So that whole crime doesn't fit, the punishment doesn't fit the crime. I understand that context. Whether it works all the time, I'm not sure.
I think stuff like this should be done in like pre-season friendlies or tournaments. Give it a go.
But do you think it also allow for, I suppose, creativity for free kicks? Because players aren't allowed in the area or in the 18-yard box when you're taking, well, existing penalty, but that rule would apply.
Yeah.
So it might allow creativity in how free kicks are taken or 18-yard kicks. Also, the angles make it more interesting as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It becomes a bit more like a game of chess in the penalty area, doesn't it? Where the ball's going to go and what the setup's like. And yeah, I think it's interesting. Yeah, we'll vote that one in.
Yeah, look at that.
You say then, so there would never be penalties again then, did you say? Or
potentially. The only other way we get penalties is a shootout if the game
is a draw. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, why not? Oh, I'm going to say yes. Let's do it.
Nice.
So Dave's happy already. Did you say you had another one, or do you want to go around?
Let's go around the virtual room.
Go around the virtual room.
Guess always first, so you go, Dan.
Cool. So one of my observations about football is whenever there's a free kick or a corner kick, the amount of time taken to take it is quite long, right? So just say there's 5 minutes left of a game and you get a free kick. You often think it's an advantage, but it takes about 3 minutes to take that free kick. So you've lost quite a lot of play. So my suggestion is, I don't think this works, by the way. This is not one of these serious suggestions. And the other thing about corners, I've also read today that corner kicks actually sometimes gives the advantage to the defending team because they can counter-attack. So my rule change would be that free kicks and corner kicks should be taken within 10 seconds of a whistle being blown. So you don't have this, you have this like mad free-for-all to try and take it rather than the whole planned set-piece routine and just to speed up the game. Which is funny because that contradicts Dave's rule because he's talking about carefully planning things from different angles in within the box. But this would counteract that because they'd have to take it pretty quick. And if you don't take it within 10, 15 seconds, time to be determined, you lose the free kick and it goes to the other team.
I like that idea, but I do have an issue with it.
Okay.
It's not an issue with your idea. It's more the enforcement of it. So there's a law in the game at the moment. Goalkeeper can hold the ball for 6 seconds.
Yeah.
When was the last time anyone saw a player being blown up by the referee for holding the ball for 6 seconds?
Okay. So I can add another rule which will counteract that. And I think there should be a countdown clock. So I don't know if you've seen it, but in tennis, for example, in between points, they start a countdown clock and you have to serve before that clock reaches zero is the general rule. Now, I think the amount of time in between points is so large that they don't necessarily ever act on it. But you can have the same in football, is when that whistle blows, 10 seconds appears up on the board and off you go.
Again, I kind of like the idea of what it's trying to achieve, but the only wrinkle I can see in it is if you've then got a player who's down injured or is failing injury, or if a booking needs to be made.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing I can see the flaw to that. It'd be great, sorry, if a player was on the floor injured, you just carry on playing. I think that's actually quite a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, unless it's a head injury, I think I should just carry on.
Yeah, well, technically you should. You don't need to stop the game, but as a gesture of goodwill, teams do and players do stop.
Yeah.
Play. However, I was going to come on to Newcastle, so I still played Newcastle at the weekend. And an Arsenal player was down, but Newcastle didn't kick the ball out, which is one thing, which is absolutely fine because, you know, that's all the game. When they gave the ball back, they'd done it in such a way it was they had a throw on. They threw the ball on the pitch, but it went off the pitch as well.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting. But the other thing about speeding up the game is, would you do the same for throw-ins? So rather than throw-ins, would you just kick the ball in play?
That got trialled somewhere as a rule, didn't it? I think I remember going to watch St Albans play in non-league a while ago, and they trialled that rule, that rather than take a throw-in, you would take it as a kick when it went off. It obviously didn't go anywhere, but that's sort of 15, 20 years ago I saw that. But I think that rule was trialled once upon a time.
Do we remember Alexi Lalas?
Yes.
He, a while ago, I'm just trying to see when this story was. Actually, this was in December 2022. He put out a tweet, and I was going to go through some of these after, and one of them was a kick-in option for a throw-in.
Yeah.
And I kind of quite like the idea of that, because then it just makes throw-ins more dangerous, because sometimes the amount of times where you just see a throw-in and none of the players are moving, or you just see everyone all running around because they're trying to block off the throw, whereas then you're making a throw-in more dangerous, more of an attacking option.
Yeah.
But could you, very similar to Dan's example, could you use it as a time-wasting mechanism as well?
I just think the whole time-wasting thing would be rectified if you literally just stopped the clock every time the ball was out of play, and you made sure 90 minutes were played.
I've got that written down as well. A bit like basketball. Make it a bit more visible for the crowd. The clock stops up on the scoreboard when there's a foul or the ball's gone out of play. You might need to reduce the amount of time. You know, you might need to reduce 90 minutes to say 60 minutes to account for that. But doing
what this has shown me is I've actually come up with really stupid ideas, and you two are coming up with ideas that are potentially going to improve the game.
We're to throw in some non-serious ones in a minute.
No, well, let's go around anyway. We'll carry on. So, this one here, then, would you vote it in, Dave?
I really like the idea. I think it would speed up the game. So yes, it's in, rubber stamped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see it. I think I'd like to see it, just because I think it could create a bit of chaos. Because the amount of times also you see players want to do a fast free kick and then it gets taken back and then you've lost that momentum. Yeah.
I suppose the other thing is, how long... You get your free kick, you recover the ball, then you've got to wait for your... Typically, your centre backs and defenders to go up to the, you know, penalty box. That's a bit of a problem as well, isn't it?
Yeah. And actually, what you said, Dan, does make a lot of sense in that you lose the attacking advantage, or you can often lose the attacking advantage, but also lose the defensive advantage because, you put all your players up, all their defenders are up, and then it's just a quick counter attack.
Well, the free kick one always annoys me, especially when Spurs are chasing, which is quite often at the moment. And you get a free kick in the last few minutes. You're like, oh, for God's sake, we hardly ever score free kicks. So we're about to waste 3-4 minutes about to take it. And then inevitably it goes over the bar and we start again.
I'm going to say yes, let's go for it. I'd like to see it trialled because sometimes the matches are just too stop-start, not to the level of say, American football. But this would give it, put the onus on attacking again, I think.
Okay.
My one, I'm laughing because it's going to be a silly one. I've got, if you're a team, it's about changing goal sizes, but what I'd initially done was, if say you haven't conceded for 4 or 5 games, your goal in the next game becomes bigger. Or conversely, if you're constantly conceding goals, your goal becomes slightly smaller. But that change only lasts for 2 or 3 matches. It's not like it's permanent. But it's a way of trying to say, right, if you haven't conceded a goal in 4 games, for the next 3 matches, your goal's going to be X dimension.
Would it be done goals or wins?
I think it... Oh, that's a good question. No, I think it's going to be goals. So we would probably say if you've only conceded X goals in X games, then your goal becomes this much bigger.
Yeah.
I love the idea. I think it's quite innovative. I think, Mike said, say you're Spurs and you're... Would it be league games? Would it include FA Cup? League Cup?
No, I think we would have to make it league games just to... just to keep it contained within a specific competition. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So let's say, for example, so if you concede a load of goals, your goal gets smaller. If you don't concede goals, your goals get bigger. So let's give an example. Tottenham Hotspur, they're playing, let's say it's three games. And then after the third game, Tottenham don't concede, their goal gets larger. That fourth game, you're playing Man City.
No,
I see your point.
Then it might balance out, because if you do it on goals scored as well, if Man City is scoring loads of goals, it might balance out and be a bit more average, mightn't it?
But only if it's those two teams. Would you get that balance over the course of a season?
I don't know.
Well, I think football is full of these inconsistencies anyway. So it could be like retrospective bannings or retrospective yellow cards, you know, or sending off. If it didn't happen in my game, I don't care, because the next team's going to benefit from it when I should have benefited from it. So, yeah, I don't know. I just think it might be funny if one week you go to a game and one goal is like 1.5 times bigger than the other one, and you've got to then swap them around at half time because you've got to bring it with the team.
Just thinking how small the goal would have been after the Newcastle game for Tottenham.
Yeah.
You might have had to change that goal at half time. It might have ended up being smaller than the ball, so it might have been impossible to score.
Yeah, or maybe you do just do it if, you know, based on league positions. So, yeah, maybe if you're Man City against Southampton right now, Southampton get the smaller goal and City get the bigger goal.
That's a good way of doing it. Yeah, okay.
It's a silly idea, but I like it. Well, yeah, could you imagine doing it on the fly? You've got a little crank in the side of the uprights and at half time the grounds people are just winding this crank to change it, to change the goal. I get a feeling this isn't going to be voted in.
I'd like to see a proper proposal and the pros and cons on a paper, and then we'll decide.
I think I'm out.
It's all down to the listeners. Back me up here. All right, Dave, what's your next one?
Okay, so what are my frustration with football at the moment is with referees and VAR, particularly when they're trying to decide if a player is on or offside. So my answer or resolution would be get rid of offside.
Ooh,
I like the idea of that. Offside's always been a really, what's the word? Not dodgy, but it's always been a really frustrating rule.
Wouldn't you kind of get like the goal hanging?
Yes.
Because the whole reason offside was brought in was to prevent someone just standing on the line. And
yeah, you could do that. Or we brought up hockey already. So in hockey, you had the blue line.
Yeah.
I think you can only get to the... So once the ball is played beyond the blue line, that's when players can enter that area. And they can't be offside. If they are in that area and the ball is played, then they're offside.
Yeah.
The problem we have is you've got VAR making millimeter decisions based on these camera angles, which I think people don't fully trust. I know you can get a semi-automated VAR, but even then, I don't think it would be appropriate for every single game due to the camera angles, the stadium, and where the cameras can be fitted. If you can get rid of contention, which was what VAR was meant to do, like get rid of offsides, then you sort of eliminate that part of the game.
Okay.
But we might not have anything to talk about.
I really do want offside change somehow, whether it's removing it altogether, or I think, isn't the rule that it's the goal scoring part of you has to be offside?
Yes.
I think just get rid of that. If part of you, any part of you is onside, you're onside. So whether it's, you know, whether it's a goal scoring bit or not, I think if it's your left finger is onside, I think you're onside.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think because there's too much contentious about offsides, if you just made it clear cut and not so many obscurities around it.
Yeah, because a few years back it was there has to be daylight.
Yeah.
Yes, now yeah. It's judged by how big is your foot, sort
yeah.
of thing,
yeah.
or your toenail. And then for your arm, it has to be, well, handball is just below your armpit level, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that's how they just judge offside as well. But it makes things so complicated and people don't really understand it properly. I don't believe the referees do either.
Yeah, yeah, agreed.
Yeah, and it is overly complicated because there's also that the part of the rule I don't like is if the goalkeeper's come out and you're past him and there's a defender past him, that's still offside, isn't it? Because there's got to yeah. be two defenders. And again, I disagree with that. If your goalkeeper's decided to come all the way out, as long as there's that defender at the back, you see, I disagree with that one as well. See, I'm bringing our friend Alexi Lalas back in because I did see he said that you can only be offside. I think it's similar, Dave, potentially what you say about hockey, that you make offside only applies in the last 35 yards, which I think is ultimately the last third.
Yeah, which is, yeah, it's very similar to hockey.
Yeah, which again, I kind of like that. But yes, you'd have to put an extra line down on the pitch, wouldn't you, for the officials. But yeah, because it's just annoying if you could be offside just over the halfway line.
Yeah, there's no real advantage at that point anyways.
Yeah, I'm voting it in.
Okay, let's have it in then.
Yeah.
What bit are you voting in? Offside being in the last third or getting rid of offside? Or have we built...
Well, Dave sets the rules, so what is your rule there?
I think we could do a bit of both. We can hybridise it, so there's no offsides up until that line.
There you go. That's what I was expecting.
So let's have a pragmatic rule.
Yeah. Okay. No, I go with that.
Okay.
It'd be great to, because you remember the old insult at school, oh, you're just a goal hanger. It would bring back those kind of rules, sort of insults back, wouldn't
yeah,
it? Yeah. And it worked for Gary Lineker. I mean, I'm not saying he was a goal hanger, but he was kind of always scoring goals just in and around the box, wasn't he? So it made players like that come to the fore.
The box.
You could have a player like me who doesn't want to do much running, so just leave me up there on that 35-yard line and just kick the ball up to me. Oh, Dave's got two out of two. Dan, what's your next one?
Oh, hang on. I was going to say it's a joke one, but if we're going for how many we seriously put in.
No, go for joke ones because it'll help me out. So.
So I'm going to mix in a bit of a tennis rule here. So obviously VAR is a bit of a joke in football and it's not used properly and it's obviously very contentious. There's lots of things we can change VAR. But I don't know how much you guys follow tennis, but tennis has a Hawkeye system whereby the player can request it to be reviewed, like a line call or a bad line call to be reviewed. Yeah. And they get like two or three incorrect stabs at it, right? And then if they challenge it and it's incorrect, they get to keep their challenge. And if they challenge it and it's completely wrong, then they lose that challenge. I think football could also do the same sort of thing, whereby the captain of the team can make two incorrect challenges on VAR. So if there's a goal, he can, you know, ask for it to be reviewed or just let it stand. And if he's incorrect, he loses his challenge. So at that point, you know, if you lose all your challenges, you just have to trust everything the referee says. Now, to caveat that, the disadvantage of this is tennis is black and white. It's factual. This Hawkeye is factual, whereas VAR isn't at the moment, I don't think. So there will be some challenges there. But I quite like the idea of, you know, once you lose your challenges, you're done. VAR is done for the game.
So you're saying VAR isn't automatic. You call VAR in.
Yeah. So the manager or the captain can review it. So like, you know, that Man City goal in the Champions League on Tuesday night, whereas who were playing? Real Madrid were unhappy that they thought the ball had gone off before he scored. VAR never reviewed it. But actually Real Madrid could ask for it to be reviewed and then they could keep their challenge if it became correct, as an example. So the trigger is done by the team rather than VAR deciding when they want to do something.
Like it.
I like it. I've got some questions.
No. What are the questions?
So one's a suggestion. Rather than have a captain initiate a review, I'd probably have a manager or a member of the backroom staff.
Yeah, okay.
Do it instead, because they've got pretty much real-time access to the video anyways.
Yeah, okay.
Then, so even if it does go to VAR and there's a challenge in, does it go back to the same people at VAR? Has everybody made their decision? Or do you say, don't do VAR?
No, don't do VAR
unless it's requested. And then, the team has to warrant, is it, because you know what it's like. Teams protest no matter what. But if you actually put the ball in their court, say, actually, you should only really protest if you think you've got a case, then I think we'd see less challenges and less frantic players.
Would you do it for everything, including, let's say we have the existing offside rule, not the amazing one I just created?
Yeah.
Would you do it with the existing offside rule, or would you?
I would do offside, red cards and goals to be disallowed. I think, as a team, you can challenge any of them.
I've got a good and bad thing about it. I think the bad thing is, you've already said it, is ultimately it goes back to VAR, which is so unreliable anyway. So,
yeah.
But on the good side is, if you're calling it in, then, because the game just stops for so long right now.
Yeah.
And so if you're only calling it in, you're only giving it maximum of potentially 6 opportunities in a match, rather than it slowing it down every goal, every penalty, every...
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to do it every time, because once they were incorrect, they would lose their challenges. So
no, that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. So at the moment, you can have VAR, potentially you could have VAR every 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes if something contentious happened, or every 15 minutes, say, whereas you're saying, right, in this game, there's only going to be 6 accounts of VAR. So the game is going to tick along a bit faster.
Yeah, I think so. I think it would work. I think it's flawless, in fact. I think it's something that should be considered immediately.
I don't know. Dave, what's your view?
Could you challenge a challenge?
Yeah. You can't challenge a challenge. Once a challenge is done, you're done, aren't you?
So let's say, right, there's an offside decision.
Yeah.
And the attacking team, so the linesman or assistant referee, they haven't flagged. But the attacking team think they're onside.
Yeah.
Then there's a free kick. They score a goal. Then the defensive team say, hey, he was offside. But then the attacking team says, I wasn't offside.
I think you have to have, and this is how it works in tennis, I think you get so many seconds between the event happening and being able to challenge. I think you'd need to implement something like that.
Because football, they do it as a phase of play. But I don't quite know what determines a phase of playing football. Because I think anyone can decide that, really. So is it how far back would you go?
Yeah.
Because if there's a foul leading up to a goal, that foul happened 30 seconds before the goal was scored.
Yeah.
I think for me, I don't think you could challenge it as such, because you don't now, as in VAR, once a decision is made, it's made. Maybe each team could have their own VAR members on them. So what you could do is you could challenge to have your VAR team on your side review it. I mean, it would make the game probably last like 2 hours extra. But maybe you have a VAR member runs into the room and has a look at it, and they put their view in and they say, no, I think it's fine. And then basically you have a penalty shootout.
I'm all for challenging VAR.
The other thing, just while we're quickly on it, just because we're talking about VAR and refereeing, the other thing I would do is mic up the ref and have that playing all constantly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would also have every conversation I have in with VAR, I would have that published as well. I don't know whether I'd do it over the stadium, but I would definitely do it over the telly, just so people can hear those conversations.
The only problem you have is all the foul language you're going to hear from the players abusing him, but...
But that, maybe that would help that, right? Maybe it would stop that happening. Because, it happens in rugby, and rugby players are very respectful of referees. I don't know if it's because of the mics or just because they're a genuinely nicer bunch of people. But it's just...
Yeah, yeah.
If we look at the recent... So Jurgen Klopp's been charged by the FA.
Yeah.
For comments he made about the referee.
And they should publish those comments, which they're not doing.
Yeah, exactly. So Paul Tierney apparently says something to Jurgen Klopp. The FA and PGM have reviewed it and said, hey, didn't say anything, everything's fine. But it's definitely he said, she said.
Yeah.
And ultimately, Klopp will get probably fined and banned. It hasn't happened yet as of the 11th of May. So, yeah, I think there's been more transparency. I think so.
I think might come up. What are you hiding? What have you got to hide? Yeah, is my view on it. You know, it's, everything that happens on the pitch should be professional and related to the sport, right? So, yeah. And I am annoyed that I know the referees have got it. There's an element of why we protect them. But the referees, you know, when players had a bad game or made a bad mistake or a manager, they've got to be in front of the cameras straight after the game and field those questions. But a referee never has to do that for his decisions. So, might come up and let's hear what's actually going on. So
it is interesting because there's always you're questioning the integrity of a player. Well, what about a referee? Why can't they can't be questioned in terms of their integrity?
Yeah.
And look, and this might even help them. This might even prove that it's the players, not the refs at fault. You know, I mean, but we don't know, and that's the problem.
Maybe you should start interviewing referees after games like they do for players, because players often get in trouble, don't they, for saying, oh, referee did this, referee did that, referee was useless.
I agree.
Put a referee in front of a camera, get him to explain it and get ridiculous punditry questions sent them their way.
Yeah, the referee can say, yeah, this player was useless, he was rubbish.
Yeah.
I mean, without going into it, because this will be more of a conversation for our other pod, but it's like you said, Dan, once in our WhatsApp chat that Harry Kane, when he was accused of diving, they showed him the video and they made him
talk
about it. But you don't then see a referee have it, you know, them say where there was an obvious error and the referee having to do the same. So, yeah, reluctantly, I'll vote that in on that basis.
Thank you. Well, both of them. So I think I snuck two in there.
The My Cup one, I think definitely.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? Because I've already forgotten now. Because we were talking.
VAR upon request.
Oh, the VAR, I think so. Just because then gives the VAR people a break. They're coming for less flack. But also, it should make the game, should stop the game.
Technically, that puts me on 3 out of 2.
Yeah. This one, I'm not sure about mine now, how it's going in. I didn't realise this was going to be a competition. And I didn't get the memo, even though I wrote it. So it's my episode. But I've got... And I haven't actually thought this out, so I'm hoping you two can help me out with this, is rotating managers or players at the end of season. So if you've got a thing like Man City where they've just got the biggest squad and too good.
That would be brilliant, wouldn't it? Imagine like at the end of every season, you put every manager into a hat and then you had to draw them out again. You know, you could end up with Guardiola at Fulham and you could end up with, you know, Sam Allardyce at Man City.
Maybe it is just a manager. Maybe it is just a manager rather than players. But yeah,
we don't need to flesh that out. It's in.
Everyone wants Allardyce, surely. He's the best manager.
Who's Allardyce? Yeah, that's a bad example. Sorry, because he is the best manager. But you know what I mean.
Well, interestingly, so one of my ideas, I think it'd be incredibly difficult to sort of introduce, is a draft system similar to the way the US do it.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like an extension of that sort of random choosing.
Yeah.
Of managers.
Yeah. I think for me, I had maybe like for managers at the start of the season, you know, like when they draw the FA Cup ties. So you've got the bowl with all the balls in and two people are picking out the balls and they say, right, here you go, Pep Guardiola, Arsenal, Arteta, Fulham, things like that. With the draft system, I was thinking that, but maybe you could do that with specific players. So like Haaland has come in and he's just amazing this year. Neymar, Mbappe, Messi, Ronaldo. Maybe there's about 10 or 20 across the leagues that are up for moving rather than every player at every club.
Maybe if you want to come into the Premier League for the first time. So Haaland says, I want to play in the Premier League at some point in my career. So he then goes into the draft system and gets allocated to a random team.
It's like a probation. You have to start at Stoke or something.
No offense
to Stoke fans, yeah. But I like that. It's like a probation period, yeah. All right, I'm taking that as a win and we're not going to talk about it too much more in case we find out any flaws.
I think it's great. I'll give you double points for that. Well done.
So, yes. Which is one of my other things, but we'll come on to that later. Dave, sorry, did you have any other ideas? Or
I do get rid of penalty shootouts.
Okay.
The idea is, so the The one of Colin's penalty shootout, but the one Dan mentioned earlier about actually running toward the goal, I really do like. I think it's a lot more entertaining.
Yeah.
But the other thing I think we discussed in the past is you take off players from each side every few minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's 5 minutes, and then you sort of get down to a few. And then at the end of the match, whoever is winning goes through or wins.
Yeah, I agree.
Do I agree?
You do, because you want to give me the points.
Yeah. I think so. The thing is, I love penalty shootouts, especially as a neutral. I just think they are a great thing. So I think having that element there. But yeah, I'm all for trying to do something a little bit different with them.
I would change, and probably it's a bit more serious rather than jokey. I would change for way it's ordered rather than doing one team, then the next team. I would do it, again, similar to the tennis tiebreak. I would do one, and then the next team takes two, and then the next team takes two. So you don't have the advantage of one team always taking the first penalty.
That was trialed, or something similar was trialed, I think.
I think it's called ABBA, isn't it? I think they call it the ABBA approach. I didn't know it was trialed, but I know they were talking about it. But I think that would be a lot fairer.
Well, how about teams take the penalties at the same time?
What, either end of the field?
Yeah, either end of the field, yeah.
That would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd be like, you know when you're watching tennis or snooker and you can hear the applause from the other side of like the divide, like in snooker from the other game, or on in Wimbledon, you can often hear the crowd in other events, on other courts. That'd probably be a good one.
Yeah, I do like that idea.
I had actually on one of my episodes a while ago, we were doing something similar. And I think I said, because the thing about penalties is players can be knackered. You've got the home crowd support that can make a huge difference depending on where you're taking it. So my view would be is you take all the players, you take them off the pitch. They go into a special room, you know, inside the stadium. And they play FIFA, penalty shootouts on FIFA with themselves. So, I know a keeper, Alisson, he would be playing himself. And let's say Saka would play himself, and you take the penalties as themselves, but on FIFA. So that way it takes out crowd involvement, it takes out fatigue. That would be my view on it.
Oh, I don't think I'd vote for that one, though, but it's a nice try.
I think all the esports and gamers out there would. So I know I can hear them putting their thumbs up at me. I think so. I think doing something with penalties would be good.
Or you could just do that if you draw, then you're out. You know, you've had the chance to win. You didn't do it, so both teams go out.
Or the cup competition. Yeah. What if it's the final? By the final.
Cup's just null and void for a year. Obviously, you can't.
You bring the two runners up back and let them play and see if one of them wins.
You obviously can't do that, but there would be, you know, when you get to extra time and it just gets a bit boring because both teams are playing for penalty shootout, it'd make that part of the game more exciting. It'd be a bit more gung ho, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if you took players off every 5 minutes, you create all that space.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Just wary of the time. So I want to see if we've got any more. So, Dan, if you've got any more, I think we should just blitz through them.
I've got a non-serious one, and it would probably make it a different sport completely, really. But when I was younger, we used to play football in a sports hall. But rather than the goals being either side of a pitch, they'd be on the centre line, but back-to-back. So you kind of attack, but if you kind of, you know, if you shot and missed the ball, then the ball would go down the other end, and all of a sudden you're defending again. So it just makes it a bit faster around the guard.
I'm not sure about that one.
I don't think it would work over a full pitch, but for five a side, it was pretty cool. It's just, you know, it's just good fun to do something a bit different and a bit more challenging.
Yeah, I'm not so sure, Dave.
I'll pass.
Oh.
All right, I've got one, and again, I'll be bringing my mate Alexi Lalas back in. But I had, if you score a certain amount of goals, you'll get an extra point, like a bonus point. So if you scored 3 or 4 goals in a game, you'd get a bonus point.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I think, it happens in rugby, doesn't it?
Already. Yeah, it happens in rugby. And I think the fact that you can get the same amount of points for a 4-4 as you can for a 0-0 or a 7-0, the same as a 1-0, I think is, you're right, Dan. That's it.
And where, excellent, thank you. And what Alexi Lalas has said in his tweet was, you get an extra point for goals outside the area. If you scored from outside the box, you get an extra point for that or something, or it counts double in goal difference, maybe.
Are you taking these points for yourself, or is this Alexi?
No, the first one was me. No, I was going to do it at the end, but then we touched on a few. So my one was the extra point on the board for more goals, but he said 2 points for goals outside the box. So I'm thinking, I don't think you could do that, but you could probably make the goal count double if you score it outside the box, maybe. So,
I'm going to disagree with Alexi Lalas and you, Dan. I don't think it's a good idea.
Well, Dan voted it, so that's 2.
Was 3 if you got Alexi as well.
Yeah.
There are some games you can get incredible draws. You can get really exciting 0-0 draws.
But I think it's like Dan said. Sorry, Dan. It's just like Dan said, is that you can, but if you've got a team who's scored a lot, I think it's about rewarding them. It's like in rugby, you do get the bonus point for if you've got a certain amount of points. I think it's just potentially encouraging teams to go out and score.
So if you were doing that to the current Premier League table, Spurs would probably be down in mid-table.
And deservedly so.
But I think, does it not also reward those who can afford the better players as well? More attacking players?
Potentially, but if you incorporate my other rules with rotating squad and managers and making goals bigger and smaller, I think it'd all be all right.
I think, if you were to think about it seriously, the one thing it probably would do is make the gulf between the Premier League and the Championship even bigger, because they would get rewarded for having better teams, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I did say it would break, some of mine would break the game. Okay, Dave, you got any others?
I don't think I've got anything else, Dan. I think what I've come up with is okay.
it's a participation sport here. Dan, anything else from you?
The only other one to mention is, I don't know if anyone watched those Budweiser adverts years and years and years ago where they were trying to make football Americanized, but there was the added time multi-ball, wasn't there, if it was a draw?
Yeah.
They were chucking a load of extra balls onto the field for like the last 20 minutes.
That could be fun.
That would be fun. Chaos, but fun.
Yeah, agreed.
I had one more, but I hadn't thought it out, so I'm glad we don't have time to think about it. But it was, I just like changing things, the dimensions of things, it looks like. So I've got changing the pitch dimensions, and I'm thinking, like, so if you knew you've got City coming who like wing play, you could make the pitch narrower, but it'd have to be longer. So the pitch would still have to be the same area, but you could change it in dimension.
So the pitch dimensions, so every single pitch at a stadium can be a different size. There's a minimum and maximum amount, and you have to be your pitch in that size. So it can be done already.
Yeah. I'm just thinking maybe you could even do it on the fly during a game. So, it's not going well. So you change the dimensions at halftime.
So you're changing the pitch size and the goal size as well. So you have a smaller pitch and smaller goals.
Potentially. Dan, you're pondering something there.
I was two things. I was just wondering, of all your ideas, how all the mechanics of this work with like flexible goal sizes and pitch sizes. It's very futuristic.
I'm just the idea man.
What else makes it work? And the second one, I was just trying to think, is there any other sport? Because obviously, like Dave said, football has a max and a min, and you have to be somewhere in between. Is there any other sports that does that? Or does every other sport have a set size the field has to be, or a court has to be?
Cricket, certainly. You can have different sizes. You can also bowl on the different, I can't remember what they're called, pitches.
Yeah.
But certainly you have different outfield sizes.
Oh, okay. It's just because I must imagine like tennis is obviously the same everywhere. Rugby, I think, it's the same pitch size. Just curious.
And one other thing to throw out, which I hadn't written down, but I remembered something random, like, I don't know, goalies throughout the match, you have to give them oversized gloves, or maybe they wear rubber gloves or something instead of their football gloves, just to mix things up a bit. So you imagine if they had those oversized foam fingers in goal. So, but yeah.
What about some of like bringing some school rules in to like, you know, last goal wins if it's 10-0 down and a few minutes to go?
Yeah.
Or if you just shout posting in and that means it's a goal.
The one we used to play foul in football. So it didn't matter if you caused a foul or not, you just carried on.
No foul football.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure it'll go down too well.
No, I don't think so. The one more is a bit of a jokey one. Is you could change the pitch or the surface of the pitch. So it doesn't have to be grass. It could be sand, for example.
Yeah.
Because we kind of, you do sometimes see that. You used to see it on like Eurosport, didn't you? Like the five-a-side legends playing beach soccer or something. Five-a-side beach football or something, I think you've seen.
So, yeah, really entertaining as well. Or you could get them playing futsal or something else. Something like that.
Yeah, I've got something, but I'm going to save that for an episode of Just Football.
I've got one more that's just occurred to me.
Go on.
Because obviously a pet hate in the game, but we all don't like, is diving and simulation. Yes. I would do a couple of things here. If there was an accusation of diving, I would display it up on the big screen to shame a player that did it.
is it back to Harry Kane? Is that what it is?
Harry Kane doesn't dive. And then And then the other thing I would do is, because when you know, on the off chance that people talk about diving and why they do it, they always say you do what's right for the team, don't you? If it's to win a penalty, you do what's right. You go down because you want to do what's right for the team. I would start a system where you start deducting points from the team for blatant simulation. Mm. So they won't do it anymore because they're going to start taking points away. They're going to start being punished for it. Just being shamed a bit on social media is not enough punishment. Let's take points away for the team.
Or if we mix it with my last idea, if you are caught diving, the next game you have to start with a snorkel or something, or flippers on your feet or something.
You have to play in flippers instead of football boots.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Like goggles, you have the goggles and a snorkel. And if you keep doing it, you've got like a scuba tank on your back.
Here's one. So I watched part of the Champions League match last night. So at the Milan sort of derby. So Lautaro Martinez, he was awarded a penalty, but it was a clear dive. That's one thing, but he didn't get booked for the dive. But when he did the dive, he looked at the referee and he simulated the booking.
Yeah. Sort of thing.
So he didn't get booked, and he was trying to get another player booked as well. He should have been sent off.
Yeah.
I think that happens all the time now. I think the players should be stamped down on anything if they get overly aggressive, if they stand over a player, if they think a player's dived. But it goes back to the referee needing to be stronger and better. Mm. Because if you had the referees doing what they should do, you wouldn't have any of this.
I agree. So if a player's asking for another player to be booked, you're booked.
Right. Yeah. I think we've made the game better and more entertaining there. I think everyone will agree with that. Before we go, do either of you just want to talk about Just Football and the socials?
Go on, Dave. You're better with this stuff.
Okay, cool. So three of us are on Just Football, a podcast about football, funnily enough. Or if you're not European, South American, is soccer as well. So we talk about football from Champions League to non-league and everything in between, including the women's game. You can find us on Twitter at Just Football Pod, and you can listen, download, subscribe on any of your favorite podcasting platforms.
Cheers, Dave. So while you're looking at that, make sure you press subscribe and give a 5-star rating to the episodes, just like you can do with this one if you haven't already. Dan, it always sounds bad when you say it. Any final words from you?
No final words for me.
Okay, yeah, and for Casting Views, you can get me at castingviewspod@gmail.com and at castingviews on Twitter. And I know there's a lot of podcasts from which you can choose, so I thank you for listening to Casting Views.
1, 2, 3, 4. If I want your opinion, I will give it to you. Come on, check what we've got, 'cause you need it. Don't make us get a sport.